It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements, an enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history, from Eden to Mount Hermon, from Hermon to Babel, from Babel to Rome, from Rome to the cross, and from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes, and to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're back in studio once again, recording brand new programs. If you've been watching for the last few weeks, you've been watching reruns.
Yeah. We decided to kind of retool our studio here just a little bit. It's not a major overhaul, but
new furniture, new desks
gives us a little more room to spread out our research materials.
I've got lots of things over here.
To hold the tea, which is always important.
So, a tea table.
Yes. But we are back to, I had to go back and look at what we had done before we started running the episodes to buy us some time to, you know, put the desks together.
Well, it was also to get through the holidays. We sure. wanted to take some time off so we could research and write and just relax, all sorts of rust. But we're now back to Revelation, mm-hmm. praise God. And I'm with you. I had to go back and try to figure out the last things we talked about because... If you are brand new to this study, then you may not be aware that when we unravel Revelation, it doesn't mean we're unraveling only the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. We are trying to unveil and dig into the prophecies throughout the Bible.
And you cannot understand Revelation if you don't view it in the context of the Old Testament prophets like Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and et cetera, et cetera. John certainly knew who those prophets were.
He did. It gets so exciting to me when you get to dig back into the foundations that give us the book of Revelation, because as you've read, and I can't remember who it was that said, but essentially if you cut off Genesis and Revelation from the Bible, none of it makes sense.
Sure, because if you don't have the understanding of why the world is in such a state, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, basically, and if you don't have Revelation, you have it's like a house without a foundation or a roof. You just have walls and...
And they'll fall down.
Yeah, will fall down as they're exposed to the elements.
And you're going
to
get rained on.
Yes, and so it just doesn't make any sense. You can tell a lot about somebody's theology, and this is a friend of ours, John Haller, who teaches prophecy at his church in Columbus, Ohio, said that you can tell a lot about a person's theology in general by knowing what they understand, what they think about end times prophecy.
Well, I think eschatology really does help you understand someone else's viewpoint of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And sadly, there are some who are teaching in seminaries, who are preaching from pulpits that do not believe in prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, or don't believe in it at all.
Right.
In fact, some don't really believe most of the Bible. They pick and choose, and they preach a sort of life coach version mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that really drains the gospel of its power.
Does it ever?
And I know there have been some who have asked us, you know, why do you spend so much time focusing, as we've had the last few weeks with our reruns. Yes. Why are we focusing so much on the enemy, the Antichrist and Satan, and who these characters are? It's because that's who Jesus Christ is saving us from.
Amen. That is so, so very true. And as Scripture has said, those things done in darkness are being brought to light.
Yes.
Light, which makes us, well, frankly, when you see the scary things that have been hiding in the dark all along, it is a little disconcerting.
It is.
But if you have a biblical foundation, then you will know that Jesus Christ is still in control. Jesus Christ is going to come back and take care of all of these scary things. He is never far from us. He is always there as our shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And even though if we're in the valley of the shadow of death,
yes,
We know he is there, and we trust in his rod and his staff.
Mm-hmm.
They comfort us. And there's just so much in that psalm alone, but the entire Bible should be taken as your way to, it's the code book that helps you to unravel Revelation.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you're wondering about my hair, because if you've been watching, you're just like, what happened to her hair? I buzzed it down. I like to do that now and then. It's actually, I really love doing it because I keep my hair so short anyway that it's not a huge, huge change. But I've gotten emails from a few ladies who, and a couple of men who have said, I want to do that, but I'm afraid. If I had really super long hair, I probably wouldn't do it, but it's so short anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of fun to watch it let it grow out again.
It's very pretty on you, sweetheart.
Oh, you're so
really
sweet. The first time I ever did it, though, you did yours too. It was a whole lot of fun. But anyway, we're going to have a whole lot of fun now.
Yes.
Digging into this prophecy in Daniel chapter 2.
Right, because when we left off, just before we sort of took off time for the holidays, and brought the series of episodes dealing with the netherworld and giants in the underworld and the geography of Sheol. Why are some inhabitants in the underworld mentioned as being in the uttermost parts of the pit and others being in the center of Sheol?
By the way, we're going to really get into that, Derek and I, in the book that we're coming out with next. Working title is Gates of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's describing all of that theology and all the geography of that terrain that was understood by those who wrote in the first century.
Exactly, exactly. So before we took that detour and kind of recovered territory that we had gone over in the past, we had talked about the iron mixed with clay, the iron mixed with miry clay in Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's vision in Daniel chapter 2.
That's one of those verses that it has been taken out of context.
Yes.
And that verse alone has been used to build an entire theology.
Hmm.
That verse alone.
Hmm.
I see it every once in a while, and it has to do with going back to Genesis 6. And I agree. I think that it is an echo of Genesis 6. But it's also part of an entire belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that one verse away from the rest,
right,
it won't make any sense.
Right. What's really intriguing is how this image seen by Nebuchadnezzar, and bearing in mind that he lived in the 6th century B.C., so sometime in the 500s B.C., he sacked Jerusalem and the temple. If I remember correctly, the date was 586 B.C., so that gives you kind of a timestamp for where we're talking about here. Daniel was carried away in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's first incursion into Jerusalem. So this is, perhaps between 600 and 586 BC, somewhere in there where this took place. But the imagery that Nebuchadnezzar describes in his dream is very similar. I mean, too similar, in my view, to be coincidental to the ages of man that were described by the Greek poet Hesiod.
Mm-hmm.
Hesiod was a roughly contemporary with Isaiah in the 6th, or rather the 8th century B.C., so sometime leading up to about 700 B.C. We don't know for sure when Hesiod lived, but we get a lot of what we know about Greek religion in the ancient world and the classical world from Hesiod, whose two best-known works were called Theogony, which is about the creation of all things and the creation of the gods and so forth, and Works and Days. And Works and Days is where we find Hesiod's description of the five ages of man. Now, just to reiterate, or rather to recover this territory, Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to read briefly here what Daniel interpreted when he saw
you
the
read,
dream.
And I'll get to drink some of my tea.
Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 31, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and to whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay.
What verse are you reading?
That was verse 43.
Okay, verse 43 in the Septuagint. Whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with earthenware, they shall be mingled with the seed of men.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of thing that has built an entire philosophy or an entire religion. The idea that they, who are they? And by entire religion, I'm not talking necessarily about a Christian religion.
Correct.
I'm talking about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who believe that the aliens are coming back and the Bible proves it and they are going to come down and they're going to mingle themselves once again, our progenitors, and create something brand new.
Yes.
Well, they're wrong.
Well, the Aramaic does say they will mix their seed with the seed of men.
No, I think that's what it says in the original. I do.
But I think
the Bible isn't confirming UFO panspermia.
Right. And a hybrid project necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. And verse 44.
I don't have hair tall enough to make that statement.
Well, you know, the credibility, obviously, is in the height of the hair.
Well, clearly, it's one reason I have to keep it cut off short.
Verse 44, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the silver, and the gold. A great God, this is Yahweh, has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation sure. Well, just as with everything else in the Bible, the fallen realm manufactures a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll explain why we're bringing this all up and relating this to Greek mythology, the works and days of Hesiod, when Unraveling Revelation continues.
With the forces of light and dark lining up for battle, it is time for the warriors of God to realize that we are at war. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Armageddon Collection. When you order Colonel David Jamona and Troy Anderson's new book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the brand new never-before-released companion DVD, Welcome to Armageddon, and the two-disc DVD collection, The Final Countdown, featuring Dr. Thomas Horn. With decades of personal military experience on the battlefield, as well as the supernatural realm, U.S. Army Colonel David Jamona and Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist Troy Anderson will equip believers like you to be battle-ready for the days ahead. Their new book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, is an end-times training manual that will teach you how to counter the darkness of approaching evil forces, operate on a new level of spiritual warfare following biblical and military principles, prepare for the intersection of biblical prophecy and real-time world events. Develop your spiritual gifts to walk in the supernatural power and protection of the Holy Spirit. You'll also receive the two-disc DVD, The Final Countdown. Now you can sit down one-on-one with Dr. Horn as he details the vision God gave him about the coming messenger, the Apophis asteroid headed toward Earth as we speak, and the Revelation 8 destruction that is starting its final countdown at this very moment. Plus his mind-boggling revelations of the Vatican's secret plan for an alien savior, and the evil gene and Lucifer effect. Also included on disc two, Ali Anderson Henson and Donna Howell present shocking information on the hidden meaning behind the biblical feasts connected to the first advent and second coming of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Also included in this incredible offer is the brand new unreleased DVD, Welcome to Armageddon, where Colonel David Jamona preaches a fiery sermon on counting the costs to become an end-time soldier of God. This amazing DVD also includes a special interview featuring Troy Anderson as he sits one-on-one with the Colonel as they discuss their book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, and how to be strong and courageous in these trying times. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So become fully equipped and trained in the weapons of spiritual warfare. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and prepare you and your family for the coming days of tribulation. This collection is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Armageddon Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're delighted that you have joined us once again for brand new programming. Really quickly, before we get to back to Daniel, mm-hmm. I want to do a shout out to someone who has been so sweet. First of all, Libby, who sends us encouraging letters all the time, and I read those, and it just makes it really is encouraging. Mm. So thank you, Libby, for that.
A true blessing.
But also, we had a viewer who sent us these.
Handmade.
This one's mine. It's got little daisies on it. And it's slightly shorter. I love that. But yours is this one.
It's
very strong and regal looking.
This is beautiful work. Absolutely beautiful
work. It's gorgeous. And we apologize so much that I have mislaid the note that came with it. So please send us a note or an email.
John 3:16, inscribed on the base of the cup.
I love that. Thank you so much for doing this.
But the box that it came in as we were rushing around over the holidays got misplaced.
So many things got misplaced over the holidays. We were lucky to make it through. But please let us know, because we want to thank you so much for that. And for the many other things, we've gotten so many gifts sent, and we just want to thank you for always praying for us. We've been very healthy. Praise the Lord. So thank you for thinking of us when you pray. I want you to also think about two things. One is going to Israel with us in 2023. Yes, 2023, no longer in 2022. We're going in March.
March 19th through 30th of 2023. We've confirmed the dates with Aaron Lipkin at Lipkin Tours and our colleagues at Skywatch TV. Allie Henson and Donna Howell will be joining us, and our good friend Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat from Tel Aviv. This is a tour like no other. We will see sites on the tours, archaeological digs that the other tours just missed because they're not on the regular tour, and also because they're in Judea and Samaria, and a lot of tours from the United States will not go there.
Look, if you love going to an in-person conference, well, combine the conference with a tour of Israel, and if you go to the extension in Jordan, that's what you're getting. It's incredible.
Yes. So you can find out more and reserve your place online at skywatchinisrael.com. That takes you to the site. You get a breakdown of costs, a sample itinerary. And here's the thing. If we need, for whatever reason, to reschedule the tour again, or we decide to go ahead with the tour and you're not comfortable with any travel restrictions, Lipkin Tours will refund your deposit. They will not hold you to something that is out of your control, out of our control. So skywatchinisrael.com.
That is so true. Also, we're going to Turkey in 2022. October of this year, we're going to go to Turkey. We're going to announce all the details next week, so don't miss that.
Absolutely. Well, this is what struck me, and I wrote about this in my new book, The Second Coming of Saturn.
Which I just happen to have a copy of
you are
right
prepared.
Here.
Because of the poem written by the Roman poet Virgil, the fourth eclogue, which makes reference to a golden age, and this is a reference to the ages of man. And the two pagan poets who are most responsible for our understanding of these ages are Hesiod and Ovid, a Greek poet, Latin poet, rather, Roman. And in Hesiod's Works and Days, he writes this, and I'm going to summarize rather than reading it all, the English translation. First of all, the deathless gods who dwell on Olympus made a golden race of mortal men who lived in the time of Kronos. Kronos was just the Greek name for Saturn. Mm-hmm. The Phoenicians called him Baal Hamon.
Second Coming of.
Yes. Who lived in the time of Kronos when he was reigning in heaven. The significance here for us as Christians is that I believe Kronos, Saturn, Baal Hamon, just other names for Shemaiah, who was the chief of the watchers, who led the rebellion of the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6.
And I think you're onto something. You defended that really well in the book.
Thank you. So this was the Golden Age. The Golden Age, men who lived during the pre-flood era, and it was supposed to be a time when everything, life was easy, life was good. Everybody had all good things the earth gave of its produce without any work, and it was wonderful. Then they who dwell on Olympus made a second generation, which was of silver, which and less noble by far. It was like the golden race, neither in body nor in spirit. The third generation, Zeus the father. Now, by this time, Cronos and the Titans have been overthrown. They've been condemned to Tartarus. They are the angels who sinned, of 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Zeus the father made a third generation of mortal men, a brazen race, bronze, the Bronze Age, sprung from ash trees, and it was no way equal to the Silver Age, but was terrible and strong. And then the he mentions a fourth race, a godlike race of hero men who are called demigods. The race before our own throughout the boundless earth. Grim war and dread battle destroyed a part of them, some in the land of Cadmus at seven-gated Thebes when they fought for the flocks of Oedipus, etc., etc. This is the age of the Trojan War, which we know now from history we can date to about 1175, give or take, B.C.
This is a fake news version of the creation of the world.
Exactly. And then finally he writes, and again, far-seeing Zeus made yet another generation, the fifth of men who are upon the bounteous earth. Thereafter, I would that I were not among the men of the fifth generation, but either had died before or been born afterwards. For now truly is a race of iron, the Iron Age, and men never rest from labor and sorrow by day. Well, that's those are the ages of men. But again, the order in which he recounts the history, gold, silver, bronze, and then skipping the heroic age, the Iron Age. What's interesting is that Hesiod, in describing the Golden Age, says when the earth had covered this generation, when they had died, they became daemons. Demons.
Yes.
Except that they wandered the earth and were kindly. Protecting from
harm.
Well,
a few of them though aren't to be trusted. They're but most of the daemons are considered helpful. They're like angelic. You know, beings.
And they attracted cult, which meant worship and sacrifice.
Yes, indeed. It's interesting that one of the races was said to have sprung from ash trees. Ash trees are part of pagan rituals.
Oh, right. The fertility rites in the groves. Yes. Now, in the first century BC, first century AD, the Roman poet Ovid, who lived around the time of the birth of Jesus, recounted this and said that there was a golden age where peace and justice reigned, and this was the age of Saturn. The Silver Age was less good, but Jupiter had taken over from Saturn by this point. Jupiter, just the Greek or the Roman form of Zeus, in turn, just the Greek form of Baal. It's the same entity by different names. The Bronze Age was very warlike, and then the Iron Age, where people had learned the art of navigation and mining, but are warlike, greedy, and impious. So they were longing for a return to the Golden Age, and that's what the Roman poet Virgil wrote, that there would be a day coming, and he was trying to suck up to the political leaders of his day. He mentions a gentleman who at the time was the consul, which is the highest elected official in Rome. This was just after the assassination of Julius Caesar, and he said that during your reign, Gaius Asinius Pollio was his name.
Yes,
the Golden Age will return. Justice returns old Saturn's reign with a new breed of men sent down from heaven.
Also references Apollo.
References Apollo. 'Tis thine own Apollo reigns. This is a child who would essentially Messiah-like in the way he's described.
And that was also sort of cozying up to the administration because the Caesars, the rulers of Rome and of other countries as well, often identified themselves with Apollo. Nero, they're all wearing Apollo's laurel leaves.
Well, even Caesar Augustus, who Octavian at the time, had not yet become the sole political leader of Rome. He was a member of the Second Triumvirate with Mark Antony and a guy named Lepidus, who history has sort of forgotten. But he was sucking up to Octavian, later Caesar Augustus, and Octavian built a temple to Apollo that connected to his house. So, Apollo was very much a favorite in Rome and a symbol adopted by the emperors. So, Virgil may just have been trying to suck up to the political leadership of Rome of the day, but his poem was taken as prophetic, even by Christians. Emperor Constantine in the 4th century, when he legalized the faith, under the guidance of his religious advisor, a Christian named Lactantius, interpreted Virgil's 4th eclogue as a prophecy of the coming Messiah, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Well, no, he did not see gods and be seen of them and heroes with gods commingling. That was not Jesus. Jesus was not the new breed of man sent down from heaven. This was a reference to the golden age and the Nephilim.
He believed the fake news.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to explain more next week as to why you should pay attention to these stories, why your kids and grandkids should study mythology, because it helps to give a background to what the first century was soaking in, how they understood the world, how the pagans believed that the world was constructed. And therefore, Daniel, who was 500 years or so before the first century, he was referencing an older model. Mm-hmm. It didn't start with the Greeks. It started way back in Sumer and probably pre-flood.
Yeah. And this is the version that has persisted to this day, because there are those in our world today, and I argue this in the book, The Second Coming of Saturn, who saw the great conjunction that we talked about a year ago on this program.
Yes.
The conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn in the night sky on the winter solstice of 2020 as a signal that the golden age is about to return.
It was hailed by the mainstream media. Oh, look, the Christmas star. No, it wasn't.
No. What it is a intelligence for us as Christians to understand why things are happening in the world around us. Why are globalists so aggressive in pushing for
the Great Reset?
The Great Reset, yes. A one-world government in which all of us will own nothing and will be happy.
It's sort of like going back to the Golden Age in their minds.
We can talk about that next week, because actually a second century Roman poet, in describing the Saturnalia, wrote a description of that festival, which was the most popular in ancient Rome, and it sounds like the very principles on which the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum is based.
Oh, you're going to love this. You don't want to miss next week's.
But the thing that we need to remember as Christians, rather than getting distraught, mm-hmm. being upset, or afraid of what's happening in the world around us, just remember, there is a Great Reset coming. God's Great Reset.
Yes!
When he returns at the head of the heavenly host and puts things right. Right now, the voices of those under the altar are crying mm-hmm. out in the throne room of God, "How long, O Lord?"
I know. It's the great mountain that truly fills the earth.
Yes. He is the one that will smash these earthly kingdoms to bits. And we will continue our study and our discussion next week on Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com. And please join us for our weekly study of the Bible, verse by verse, in chronological order, online at gilberthouse.org.